Now thanks be to God, who always leads us to triumph in Christ. Welcome back to the house, the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob. This is podcast number 77, and it's February 25, 2015. Today we watch our friend George Mueller go through a huge trial, but come out triumphant. It's always the way, isn't it? We're at chapter 23. It's January 4, 1853. For many months, I've been assured that the Lord, in his own time, would give larger sums of money for this work. At last, he has answered my request. I received the promise of a donation of £8,100 from a group of Christians. You see how precious it is to wait on God? See how those who do not do so are disappointed? Faith and patience may be tried, but in the end, those who honor God will not be put to shame. The size of the donation did not surprise me because I expect great things from God. Have I been boasting in God in vain? Is it not obvious that it is precious to depend on God for everything? The principles I use are not only applicable to the Word of God and the work of God on a small scale, but also in the largest operations for God. May 26. The current expenses of the institution were never this great during the past 19 years, but the extent of its operations and the supplies which the Lord sent in were also never so abundant. We are richly rewarded for waiting on God. He listens to the supplications of his children who put their trust in him. But in order to have prayers answered, a Christian must make his request to God on the ground of the merits and worthiness of the Lord Jesus. He must not depend on his own worthiness and merits. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you depend on him alone for the salvation of your soul? Make certain that not even the least degree of your own righteousness is presented to God as a ground for acceptance. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, the things you request should be for God's honor. Suppose that we believers in the Lord Jesus make our requests to God. Suppose also that as far as we can honestly judge, the obtaining of our requests would be for our spiritual good and for the honor of God. We must then continue in prayer until the blessing is given to us. Furthermore, we have to believe that God does hear us and will answer our prayers. Frequently, we fail in not continuing in prayer until the blessing is obtained and in not expecting the blessing. As assuredly as any individual uses these points, so assuredly will his requests be granted. October 9. This morning before breakfast, I read Luke 7. While reading the account of Jesus raising the widow's son from the dead, I lifted up my heart and said, Lord Jesus, you have the same power now. You can provide me with means for your work. Please do so. About a half an hour later, I received £230 to be used where it is needed most. The joy such answers to prayer gives me cannot be described. I was determined to wait upon God only and not to work an unscriptural deliverance for myself. I have thousands of pounds set aside for the building fund, but I would not touch it. My soul magnifies the Lord for his goodness. The natural mind is prone to reason when we ought to believe, to be at work when we ought to be quiet, or to go our own way when we ought to steadily walk in God's ways. When I was first converted, I would have said, what harm can there be to use some of the money which has been given for the building fund? God will help me eventually with money for the orphans, and then I can replace it. But each time we work a deliverance of our own, we find it more difficult to trust in God. At last, we give way entirely to our natural reasoning, and unbelief prevails. How different if one waits for God's own time and looks to him for help and deliverance. When at last help comes, after many hours of prayer and after much faith and patience, how sweet it is. What a reward the soul receives for trusting in God and waiting patiently for his deliverance. If you've never walked in this path of obedience before, do so now. You'll experience the sweetness of the joy that faith brings. December 15. I praise, adore, and magnify the Lord for His love and faithfulness in carrying me from year to year through His service and supplying me with all I need. Without His help and support, I'd be completely overpowered in a very short time. With His help, I go on and am very happy in my service. I am even in better health now than I was 20 years ago. For the past several years, Bible distribution has become more important to me. The powers of darkness have attempted to rob the church of the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, I've been taking advantage of every opportunity to distribute the Bible throughout the world. Many servants of Christ in various parts of the world have helped me in this work. And through them, thousands of copies of the Bible have been distributed. If you're in the habit of distributing tracts and have never seen fruit, I suggest the following hints for your prayerful consideration. Number one, through prayer and meditation on the Word, become willing to let God have all the glory if any good is accomplished by your service. If you desire honor for yourself, the Lord must put you aside as a vessel unfit for the Master's use. One of the greatest qualifications for usefulness in the service of the Lord is a heart that truly desires to honor Him. Number two, precede all your labors with earnest, diligent prayer. Do not rest on the number of tracts you've given, because a million tracts may not lead to the conversion of one single soul. Yet a blessing beyond calculation may result from one single tract. Expect everything to come from the blessing of the Lord, and nothing at all from your own exertions. Three, at the same time, work. Walk through every open door. Be ready in season and out of season, as if everything depended on your labor. This is one of the great secrets in connection with successful service for the Lord. Work as if everything depended on your diligence, and trust in the blessing of the Lord to bring success. Four, this blessing of the Lord, however, should not merely be sought in prayer, but it should also be expected after prayer. The result will be that we will surely have it. Number five, suppose that for the trial of our faith, this blessing is withheld from our sight for a long time. Or suppose we die before we see much good resulting from our labors. Our labors, if carried on in the right way, will be at last abundantly rewarded, and we will have a rich harvest in the day of Christ. At the beginning of this period, there were 300 orphans in the new orphan house on Ashley Down. During the year, 30 orphans were admitted, making 330 in all. The total number of orphans who were under our care from April 1836 to May 1854 was 558. During the past year, my faith was tried in a way it had never been before. My beloved daughter, my only child and a believer for several years, became ill. The illness turned to typhus, and there seemed to be no hope for her recovery, but faith triumphed. My beloved wife and I gave her into the hands of the Lord, and He sustained us both. My soul was in perfect peace, trusting my Heavenly Father. She remained very ill for more than 2 weeks before she began to grow stronger and was moved to Clevedon to recover. Of all the trials of faith I have passed through, this was the greatest. By God's abundant mercy, I was able to delight myself in God, and He gave me the desire of my heart. God is always faithful to those who trust in Him. Amen. Let's move on to chapter 24. That was a short chapter. May 26, 1855. The chapter is called Continued Prosperity and Growth. Although I did not have all the money necessary to begin to build the new orphan house, I began to look for land. For the past 4 years, I never had a doubt that it was the will of God that I build accommodations for 700 more orphans. Yet, I could see the advantages of having two houses instead of one. I checked to see whether another house could be built on each side of the present orphan house. After I measured the ground and found it could be done, I called in the architects to survey the area and to make a rough plan of two houses, one on each side. We would not only save money by this plan, but the direction and inspection of the whole establishment would be much easier because the buildings would be close together. We would still have plenty of land to grow our own vegetables. Once I saw what could be accomplished on the ground we owned already, I decided to build, without any further delay, at the south side of the new orphan house. The plans are now ready, and as soon as all the necessary preliminary arrangements can be made, the work will begin. This house is intended to accommodate 400 female orphans. With regard to the other house to be built at the north side of the new orphan house, nothing definite can be stated at present. Enough money is available to build and furnish the house for 400 orphans. We expect that something will be left over, but there's not sufficient money to begin to build both. A strong call is on my life for caring for destitute orphans. 715 orphans are now waiting for admission to this orphan house. Only 39 orphan homes provide care for 3,764 orphans. When the new orphan house was being built, nearly 6,000 young orphans were living in the prisons of England because there was no other place for them to go. To prevent them from going to prison and being brought up in sin and to win their souls for God, I desire to enlarge the present establishment so that we are able to receive 1,000 orphans. Individuals who have chosen not to live for the present time but for eternity will have the opportunity to help me care for these children. It's a great honor to be allowed to do anything for the Lord. When the day of recompense comes, our only regret will be that we have done so little for Him, not that we have done too much. If anyone desires to live a life of faith and trust in God, he must do the following. 1, not only say that he trusts in God, but must really do so. Often individuals profess to trust in God, but they embrace every opportunity where they may directly or indirectly tell someone about their need. I do not say it's wrong to make known our financial situation, but it is hardly displays trust in God to expose our needs for the sake of getting other people to help us. God will take us at our word. If we do trust in Him, we must be satisfied to stand with Him alone. 2, the individual who desires to live this way must be content, whether he is rich or poor. He must be willing to live in abundance or in poverty. He must be willing to leave this world without any possessions. 3, he must be willing to take the money in God's way, not merely in large sums, but also in small amounts. Many times I've had a single shilling given to me. To have refused such tokens of Christian love would have been ungracious. And 4, he must be willing to live as the Lord's steward. If anyone does not give out of the blessings which the Lord gives to him, then the Lord, who influences the hearts of his children to give, would soon cause those channels to be dried up. My good income increased even more when I determined that by God's help, his poor and his work would be helped by my money. And from that time on, the Lord was pleased to entrust me with more. Amen. We'll stop right there this time. I know you're being blessed by these practical suggestions on how to live the faith life. And to hear from one who lived it and tells us a generation, many generations later, it works. It really works. Please subscribe to my daily podcast here at Sermon Audio. Just click on that orange button at the top of your screen and then click on iTunes. Send me an email. Ask a question. Suggest a topic for study. Ask for your free Bible in English, Spanish, or Arabic. I have Sermon Audio topics covering a wide range of Christian issues. There's a long series on North Korea, a course on the Quran, tons of prophecy studies, a through the Bible study, and a whole lot more. Go to sermonaudio.com, right where you're at, and browse a while. Tomorrow, Brother Mueller's autobiography continues. We'll be finishing him up in just a few days, the whole book. We'll get to the suffering church at that point. And then that research I've been telling you about. So stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in today. Hope to talk with you again soon. Don't forget what we started out with in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us to triumph in Christ.